So repeat after me. By the way, my name's Daryl Davis. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for coming this morning. Do me a favor. Repeat after me. The year 2003
is going to be
my best year ever. Do you believe that? Yes or no?
Yes.
Turn to the person next to you, shake their hand and say, you deserve more this coming year. Go ahead. All right. Well, I'm excited to be here. Who's excited? Turned on? Can't wait for me to get started? Go. Okay, go. All right. Who's not excited, but you're glad you woke up this morning? Okay. Who still has a hangover? Let me see. Oh, yeah, yeah. I picked a great hotel. Yeah, right on Bourbon Street there. I'm excited to be here for a couple of reasons. As a matter of fact, I've got goals as to what I'd like to accomplish between now and 12:30. May I share with you what those goals are, yes or no?
Yes.
My first goal is I want to have some fun. Now, how do you guys feel about having fun?
Yes.
I'm seeing a lot of beads around some of these ladies, yes. I'll tell you why I want to have some fun, because I don't know if you know this or not, but real estate can be frustrating from time to time. Yes. I know some of us, we got these buyers, we'd love nothing more than make a sharp left-hand turn, open up the passenger door, let them fall out. Yes, real estate can be frustrating. Although the new people, I don't think they know this yet. No, not like us old dogs. Who's new? 6 months or less. Raise your hands nice and high. Aren't they cute? You can always tell the new salesperson, right? Because they're the one that's still smiling. Yes, here's my card. Oh, good luck. So we need to have some fun in this business, yes? But here's the other reason why I want to have some fun, because I remember what it used to be like, going to seminars, sitting in your chair. I used to be like this, go ahead, Mr. Speaker, Mrs. Speaker, show me your stuff, motivate me. And then I figured out the value of one gets out of a seminar isn't so much about what's being set up here, but how it's being what? Help me out. Heard, received, listened to. So instead of you and I checking each other out, you know, you seeing if you like me, and me seeing if I like you, that I think if we just start off liking each other, we'll get more value. Would you agree, yes or no?
Yes.
So do you want to have some fun?
Yes.
All right, everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. I've got to go up here because I'm short. No one can see me. Oh, gee. All right, everybody face this wall, please, and take everything out of your hands. Everything out of your hands. Now, take both hands and put it on the shoulder. Whoops. Oh, this is so much fun working with a wired mic. Everybody take both hands, put it on the shoulder of the person in front of you. Go ahead. The sections don't have to move. You don't have to move the sections. Now, I learned that there's nothing better first thing in the morning than a massage. Give that person a massage. Go ahead. That's right. Come on. Do it like you mean it now. Go to the middle part of the back. Middle. Lower part of the back. Lower part of the back. All right, now massage the buttocks, because we're going to be here. All right, turn this way. Turn this and call it equal opportunity profession here. Massage the shoulders. Go to the middle part of the back now, middle part. Lower part. All right, I dare you realtors, goose the person in front of you again. All right. Give yourselves a round of applause for playing. I saw a couple of guys over there, they're like, hey, I ain't touching your back. When we do that in New York, this is what it looks like. I don't know if you can see me here. They're like, hey, watch the wallet over there. So everybody, what's our first goal? Have some what? My second goal, just as important, is I want to share with you the attitudes of a top producer. Yeah. Now, unlike a lot of the breakouts, there's not a lot of technique today. But I think that this perhaps one of the most important things that we need to look at as a salesperson is our attitudes. Because you know what? You can go to every breakout, get tons and tons of technique on how to make a six-figure income. But if who you are, your attitude, is 30 grand a year, how much are you going to make?
30 grand.
Attitude is where it all starts. It's not what you do that makes you special, but it's who you are. Because it's who you are that dictates what you do. Is this making sense? Yes or no? So I want to share with you these attitudes, and I'll tell you something. Great salespeople are not born. You know, when your parents gave birth to you and say, oh, honey, look, we had a top lister. Right? It's something that you got to work at. As a matter of fact, some agents, when they come in, you look at them, you say, they're not going to make it. I was one of those because my first year in real estate, you had to picture this. I was 19 years old, walked into my first real estate office on Long Island, New York. And you had to picture this. I had white Capizios, you know those dance slippers? I swear. Leather pants. Not a shirt and a tie, I had a sweater. Had a bunch of rings. Show everybody how cool I was. Italian, 19. Now, my first 6 months, I sold a lot. I did. I sold my car, my furniture. You know, then I figured out, I better learn this business. So I went to seminars, listened to tapes, took training courses. And then after trial and error, I was averaging about 6 transactions a month. How many say that's not too shabby? Yeah, then I got into management. People always say, if you're so good as a salesperson, why are you doing the speaking thing? Well, because there's more money in it. No, I'm just kidding. I just like to help people now. What was my point? Oh, my point was this. If I can go from selling my car and my furniture to averaging 6 transactions a month, I believe everybody in this room can have the year 2003 be their best year ever. And today what we're going to focus on is it all begins with you and how you see yourself and your attitude. So, everybody turn to that second page that's there. Or is it the first? Number 2. There's 3 types of agents. And I'm going to start while we're handing out these handouts. Thank you so much for helping, gang. There's basically, you can take 3 types of agents. Let me get my overhead here for you. I've been doing real estate either as a speaker, as a salesperson, as a trainer for the past 14 years. And I figured something out. That you can basically put agents into 3 general categories. You got your top producer. You've got your, what I call the frustrated agent. And then the third, we'll just call this agent the accident. Now, let me share with you what my definitions of top producer, frustrated, and an accident agent. A top agent to me isn't so much related to money, although that's what most of us use to gauge whether somebody's successful or not. My definition of a top producer is somebody who's got more business than they can possibly handle or would want to. Now, I'm going to say that again. I'm going to ask you a question. Top producer to me is somebody who's got more business than they can handle or would want to. Now, if you ever got to this level of success in your career, what could you be more of? Call it out. Okay, by the way, this is happening live. So, you're looking like it's TV. Oh, this is nice, this short little Italian guy. All right. Play with me. This is when you talk now. This is like dental floss for a second. The people listening to the tape are not going to know what the hell's going on. All right. Somebody can delegate. What else could you be more of? Selective. Very good. Everybody say that word, selective. So you see, we could work with the people we want to work with, and the heck with all the others. Wouldn't that be great? Well, notify your face, please. You're looking at me like, what's the point? Here's the point. Some of us are working with people we don't like or want to, but we're doing it because we need the what?
Money.
This second group here, the frustrated agents, is something they have too much of or too little of. For example, they may have too much stress. If you got too much stress in your career, give me a hum. Or they're just not having enough fun. Or they're just not making enough money. If you want more money, more fun, and less stress, give me an amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. No, that was my part. Then you've got the group here that's an accident. Here's what I mean by that. Is this market hot now, yes or no?
Yes.
I forgot, I'm the national convention. That was stupid. Some places, no. See, let me show you something. For the past few years, has it been a hot market, yes or no?
Yes.
And here's what we've been seeing, man. Incredible growth. Now, the problem with this is the FSBO. Because the FSBO thinks, man, I don't need an agent. I can just put an ad in the paper. And those of you coming to my breakout tomorrow, I'm going to teach you some things about that, how to handle it. But let's just focus on the attitudes. Now, here's what we're seeing nationally. Some markets, it's leveling off. Some markets, it's starting to dip. Up until this point, my definition of an agent and accident, meaning that they do some kind of business because the market is so hot, it has nothing to do with their skill or their ability. Now, as the market changes, which some of us are starting to see it happen, here's my warning for you. If you're in category 2 or 3, you may be out of real estate next year. Unless you do something different than what you've been doing. We got to change, yes? So what I'd like to do now is share with you, and may I? Yes. Come here. You're going to help me here?
Yeah. You're about to kill yourself.
I'm about to kill myself?
Let's try to.
Just tie it up like that? What do I do with the rest of the cord?
You just carry it.
Just carry it? Yeah. Okay. Can I share with you the attitudes of these top producers that are different from everybody else, yes or no?
Yes.
But I got a warning for you, and I want to tell you where this came from. A lot of what I'm going to share with you. I have a training course I created in 1993 called the Power Program. It's the only course that meets once a month for 12 months. Now, here's the amazing thing. These agents go through the course. The average production before the program is 15 transactions. When they graduate, they're doing 35 in 12 months. And it's a live course. It's not a telephone conferencing thing. Is that a good increase, yes or no? As a matter of fact, if some of you went to the bookstore, you'd see that I just came out with this book, How to Become a Power Agent in Real Estate. And I'm doing a book signing today if you want to come down. But here's my point. These agents, what the power agents learn is a bunch of technique. But what I've learned over the years, it's more about the attitudes and less about the technique. Have you ever met a top agent that you look at them and you say, how the? Yeah, I wouldn't list with them. And when you listen to their dialogue, you see, one of the advantages that you have when you come to a seminar, you hear a speaker, is that we talk to so many agents throughout the country. And I'll tell you, most top agents, I ask them, what's your dialogue calling with FSBOs? It's terrible. There's no magic dialogue. But what has them get the listings and other agents not is that at least these guys are picking up what? The phone. They're working the numbers. And they're passionate about their careers. And that's what I want to talk about. All right, so number one, here's, jot this down, turn the page now. Number one, focus on my next level. Focus on my next level. Now I want to explain what next level is. This is a very important distinction. As a matter of fact, the Power Program slogan is helping agents achieve their next level. You could look at your life and measure it in levels. And that when you achieve a certain level in your life, who you are as a person changes. You got to grow. Can somebody give me an example that's something that might have happened in your life that totally changed who you were?
Career change.
Career change. Whole different set of rules for you. Yes, what else?
Children.
What's that?
Children.
The children. When you have children, does your whole life change? Yes or no?
Yes.
Absolutely. You're not the same person anymore. What else? Divorce. Most groups start off with marriage. But only here, the realtor convention, divorce. Especially after this weekend.
On Bourbon Street.
Right, well, let's go with the first one, all right? Marriage. Does your whole life change, yes or no?
Yes.
And you better change as a person with it. Because if you don't, you're going to achieve another next level, which is divorce. Very good. Now, here, let me use me as an example. I want to go through my next level when I got into real estate. And you'll see how this all ties in just a second. My first level as an agent was just to survive, just to make it that first year. My level after that was to become a top agent. My level after that was to become a manager of an office. The level after that was become a successful manager. There's a difference, yes? And then it was a speaker, then a trainer, because speaking and training are two different things. Now, I know some of you don't know me, but can you guess that who I am today, Daryl Davis, as a speaker and trainer, that I would never go back to listing and selling real estate? Can you guess that? But if I did, help me out. Do you think I would be doing 6 transactions a month like I used to, or do you think I'd be doing better? Why? Because, yes, because as I achieved those levels, I had to grow as a person. Now, how does this apply to us, and why is this important? And I want to clarify a little bit more about next level. Oliver Wendell Holmes said it, when the mind of man is expanded, it never goes back to its original form. To me, next level is simply this. It's a vision that you have for your life that's bigger than who you are today. I'll say it again because I see some of you want to jot that down. A next level is a vision that's bigger than who you are today. Now, when you can get passionate and excited and committed to that vision, to that next level, it's that vision, that next level, that will call you into action. So I want you to look for a second. Your career, I bet, there's exceptions in the room, but I bet for the majority of us, that pound for pound, hour for hour, we were the most productive when we first got licensed. Would you agree with that basic premise, yes or no? No, some of you know. I said there's some exceptions, and please don't share again. Anyway. Well, watch this. New salespeople, don't they do a lot of stuff that we old dogs, we wouldn't do that anymore. Because works. Watch this. When you bet when you were studying for the license exam, you never studied any harder for anything before in your life. Because you had a vision, a next level, and that was to become a real estate agent. I'm going to become the next Donald Trump. Now look at you. Something happened. We had this vision, this next level that we would wake up into in the morning, and that was exciting for us. See, some of us, we've gotten so wrapped up in making a living, we forgot to live. We're so much dealing with the issues and the problems of this business that we stop creating who we are. See, something I learned about agents is that, people in general, that there's two operating states in life. You're either managing your life or you're creating it. And every time you're creating it and you're reinventing yourself, that's where the passion comes from. It's kind of like a marriage. You don't walk down that aisle and say, I do, and expect that sucker to work out for 20, 50 years. You've got to every morning wake up and recommit to that relationship. Is this communicating, yes or no? Yeah. So, and this is not goals. So don't hear this as goals. This is something bigger than who you are today. You'd have to sacrifice who you are today for what you can become. I want you to jot down a question here, and I really want you to answer this for yourself. Because, again, gang, if you take all this stuff from the conference, you know what? This is not my notes. Can I share something extra with you? Yes. No? All right. Say yes.
Yes.
See, it's a little analogy. We show the power agents in the power program. If you make believe that that's a glass, just make believe. The glass is the context that holds the content being the water. It is the context that gives shape to the water. What I'm talking about, this next level, is the context of your life. That it's what you're committed to and who you are that holds the rest of your life. And when you are clear about that, well, let me tell you something, gang. The secret of motivation is simply this. People come up to me and they say, Daryl, I need to get motivated. When you are in a rut, gang, it's very simple. The source of the rut is you're not clear about what you're committed to in your life. There is no clarity of purpose because we've gotten so slapped in the face with the paying the bills and dealing with the issues, business and personal, that in the mess of all that, we forget who we are in the matter of the upsets, in the matter of the breakdowns. Are you all with me on this? Yes or no?
Yes.
And this is not something you just do once. You know, all right, here's what I'm committed to. And then you don't do it again. I'm constantly looking at what am I committed to in my life. So here's the question I want you to jot down for yourself. The question is this. If I had a magic wand, this is an old question. If I had a magic wand and money was not an issue, what would my life look like? If I had a magic wand and money was not an issue, what would my life look like? Now, I'm not going to give you the time to answer this question. And as a matter of fact, I don't think this is a question that you can just answer in a seminar like this. But what I do recommend you do is you get this tape of this CD for this session. And as you're driving in your career and you're listening to it over and over again, that question will sit there in the recess of your mind. What am I committed to? If I had a magic wand and I can have my life look any way that I wanted it to, what would it look like? And that question will empower you. That question will add the motivation that some of you are missing. Now, once you have this clarity of purpose, this bigger vision of who you are, then you set your individual goals. You don't start with the goals first. You got to first look at who you are, then you set the goals. It's almost like this. This screen here is the canvas. And let's say if I was a painter and I was going to paint on this canvas. The canvas itself, the backdrop, that's your next level. And the actual painting or the picture would be your specific goals. Now, let me ask you this. This is not a goal-setting seminar, but would you agree that goals are important, yes or no?
Yes.
They give direction. They give purpose. I'll tell you where I learned the importance of goals. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you how I got into real estate. Because like most of us in this room, when I was growing up, I didn't go up to my parents and say, Mom, Dad, when I grow up, I want to be a realtor. You know, it was an accident that this happened. I was on Long Island, New York, going to CW Post College. And back then, I was a theater major because I was in a couple of movies, commercials, and I wanted to be an actor. But, you know, acting, you're either rich and famous or broke and struggling. So I was watching TV at 2 o'clock in the morning. What's on at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Infomercials.
Now, the most common ones back in the 80s was what? How to buy real estate with no money down. Now, who are some of these speakers? Carlton Sheets is the only one still around. Who else? Robert Allen, yes, he's in jail. Who else? Who?
L. Lowry and Nicholson.
You obviously bought a lot of these books, didn't you, sir? I didn't even know about that one. There was Dave Delgado. I would have changed my name. But the one, somebody just said it, the one that I saw was Tom Vu. Now, Tom Vu, if you saw that commercial, I got to get up here. It was the cheesiest infomercial I'd ever seen. This guy comes on, and he says, you too can be rich. Ha, ha, ha. Now we got to picture this. He's sitting on a boat. I'm sorry. He's sitting on a yacht with women surrounding him in bikinis. I swear to God. And he says, you too can have all this. Now, that caught my attention. He said, come to my free seminar. So I went to his free seminar. And it was at that seminar that, you know, he was trying to sell his course. All right. I didn't take his course, but I was sitting next to a broker. And I said to this broker, I said, can you do this? And this is before I got licensed. Right? And the broker said, sure, you know, in some markets you can. Long Island's still tougher. Anyway, we started talking. And I decided to get into real estate as a salesperson because the broker said, you know, it's a great profession because you can make your own hours. Well, she was in recruiting mode, you follow me? So I figured I can, you know, still pursue my acting career while I made my own hours. Yeah, which we know that didn't happen. I started making a lot of money, and that's how I got out of acting. Anyway, but it was at that, the reason why I'm sharing this is because at that seminar, they had an insurance company that shared about statistics financially where you and I end up at the age of 65. That if we were to take 100 people at the age of 65, one out of 100 is wealthy. You know what I mean by wealthy? Like globs of money. Like Bill Gates type. I read in USA Today that Bill Gates has got so much money. If this guy was walking down the street and he dropped a $100 bill, it would cost him more money to stop, turn around, and go back and pick it up than if he just kept walking. So I'm like, damn, I know what my job is. Bill, I got your butt covered, man. Go ahead. Let it fall, babe. So 1 out of 100 is wealthy. 4 out of 100 is financially independent. Now, by the way, even though this study was done a long time ago, I think it still applies to today. 5 out of 100 are still working, not because they want to, but because they what? have to. 36 of the people will be dead, and 54 will be dead broke. Now, so I'm looking at this, and I'm in this seminar. I'm like, why? I don't want to be one of these people here. I want to be in this top 5%. So I found out that the University of California did a study about goal setting. They tracked people over a 10-year period, and here's what they discovered. 62% of the people set no goals. No goals. They'll usually, you know, maybe have something that they want, wishes and dreams, but it's in their head. It's not a SMART goal, which is specific. Here, I'll give you the acronym. SMART. A SMART goal is specific, measurable, attainable, results-oriented, and it has a time frame. But what's not said here is also it needs to be written down. Now, 62% of people, once again, set no goals. 20% set low goals. These are usually people with low self-esteem. 13% of the people set goals, but they take no action that's consistent with the goals. These are usually people that will attend a seminar or a convention, not you, but maybe the person sitting next to you. They'll say, yes, this 2000 is going to be my best year ever. I'm not going to procrastinate anymore. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm going to do something this time, and you know what? I'm going to start first thing next week. Well, because I got to clean my desk first. I got to get my ducks in a row. What happens to these people? Do they start next week? No, they never start. As a matter of fact, let me interrupt myself here. I was thinking about this. I was out in the patio there getting ready for this. And I want to give you a suggestion. Because I remember when I used to be an agent going to conventions, these notes here, there's maybe a good chance you're going to lose these notes. No, if you're like me, you'll lose some of them. There's so much great stuff you're going to. What I recommend you do is at the end of each day from this point forward, you sit down with a pad, your own pad, go through the notes, and have a master to-do plan. Call it the NAR post-convention action list. Did you like that? Everybody go, ooh. It's the NAR convention action list. I just made that up. But here's what happens. Instead of going through all these notes, right, you'll have your one pad, and you can focus on the one pad and start implementing those things. Now, by the way, here's another little extra tidbit for you. What the power agents, what we teach them, is when you do something on an item, what do you normally do once you complete it? You check it off. What else do you do? Draw a line through it. Now, most of us do the line thing through or the check thing. Okay. Now, at the end of the day, when you look at your list, where's the focus? On what you did or what you didn't do? What you didn't do. Now, just think about that. We're actually setting ourselves to acknowledge what we didn't do. So it's a stupid little thing, and the power agents say they love this. Instead of checking it off or crossing it off, use a yellow highlighter. So at the end of the day, your focus is more on what you did do versus what you didn't. So now you're acknowledging yourself for those positive things. All right. By the way, one last tip for this convention. Get a convention buddy. A convention buddy. And here's what a convention buddy is. Is at the last day of the conference, you sit down with your convention buddy. You take your two lists and you copy it or you share it or whatever, and you make promises that these are the things you're going to do post-convention. Why am I having a problem with that word? Convention. And then you call each other to make sure you're doing your action items. Is that a good idea, yes or no? We need accountability. All right, so back to this University of California study. The last group was 5% of the people on this planet set goals, and they take action that's consistent with the goals that they set. Now look at this. You got 5% of the people set goals and take action that's consistent with that. And 5% of the people on this planet are financially independent or wealthy. Do you think there's a correlation here, yes or no? Absolutely. So now, I'm not going to get into how to set goals, but I want to give you a couple of tips. And just write this, you know, I don't think there's a tip section there. Just write wherever you want. Yeah, okay, that's the next item though. So just write this anywhere. First of all, what I recommend you do as far as goal setting, you got to be careful what you ask for, yes?
Yes.
I got to tell you the story I heard about a priest who was out in the woods meditating. He was sitting by a fireplace. He hears some rustling in the bushes. Where is it? Where's my mic? He hears the rustling in the bushes. He looks over there, and he sees a bear. So all of a sudden, he gets nervous, so he decides to get up, start walking away from the bear. Well, the bear starts following him. So the priest starts jogging. The bear starts jogging. The priest starts running. He's running. He's booking. All of a sudden, he comes to an edge of a cliff. The priest doesn't know what to do, so he starts praying. He says, "Lord, please give this bear some religion." Miraculously, the bear stops dead in its tracks, gets on its hands and knees, and says, "Lord, thank you for this meal I'm about to receive." So you got to be careful what you ask for, because you might get it. Let me tell you something. Working with power agents for 12 months, I've learned more about real estate than when I was an agent. And one of the things I used to do when I was a manager, I used to sit down with people and set a year goal with them, right? And they set a business plan. What's the problem with a year business plan? If you set a business plan with your manager or broker in December or January, when are you going to look at that sucker again? In December, when it's time to do the new one. Say, where the heck did I put that thing? Where is it? Oh, wow, there's that deposit check. We start cleaning our desk, finding it. So here's what I recommend you do. Here's a tip for goals, is set monthly goals. I'm not saying not to set a year goal, but definitely set a monthly goal. Now help me out, gang. Why is a monthly goal very, very powerful and something we should do instead of just a year goal? Call it out. What's that? It makes you accountable. Why else? It's shorter time. That's the key right there, gang. The reason why a monthly goal is very powerful is because you don't have time to mess around. When you set a year goal, you figure, hey, I got a what? A whole year. But when you set a 30-day goal, there's no time messing around. So when you leave here today, now, it's very simple. These monthly goals, here's your monthly business plan. How many listings, how many sales? And a couple of to-do items that will bring you to the next level. You know those things that you've been putting off? And you know if you did it, it would empower you. It would get you more focused. You put those things on the monthly. So you're going to talk about 3 or 4 different items. Here's another tip. Get your family involved with your goals. Real estate does have one of the highest rate of divorces of professions. And the reason why that is because Stephen Covey, I like what he talks about. He says, you and I have an emotional bank account that people are either making deposits or withdrawals. And in this business, it seems that there's more withdrawals than there are deposits. And then what do? Gosh darn it, we go home and then we vomit on our spouse and we're draining their emotional bank account. So here you got a couple that's doing more draining, more withdrawals than deposits. So what I want you to do here is to get your family involved with your goals. I'm going to give you 2 family tips. But this first one, family goals. For example, let's pretend you're married, you got 2 kids. Go home after this convention and have like an office meeting with your family. You may want to get an overhead and screen. And you say to the family, say, kids, if I, in the next 30 days, if I get 10 listings, or 1, whatever would stretch you. If I get these 10 listings, kids, I'm going to buy you both 10 speed bikes. Oh, Daddy, we love you, we love you. Okay, good. Honey, you and I will go away for the weekend. No cell phones, no beepers, no kids. Little champagne, bubble bath. Now, when you come home the next night, what's your family going to do? How many listings you got? They're going to be like, what the heck are you doing home? Go knock on some doors, make some calls, get out of here, honey. So you want to give them specific rewards, you see, for your work that you're going to do. Here's the second thing you should do. When we write this down, call it a family fun list. Family fun list. Here's something else I realize about us. Whenever we're a little stressed with the family, and we can tell, you know, I've been neglecting them, I'm going to spend some time with them. The people on the table, what is he doing? All this stuff. What do we always do with our family when it's time that we got to spend some time, you know, we feel the stress and we got to spend some time with them? There's two things that we always do with our family. What are those two things? You should see what I'm staring at right now. You look like deer in headlights. Now, what the hell is he talking about? I'm still wondering why he's playing with his mic. Hey, yes, I saw a hand here. Have fun. Okay, let's keep it clean now. I mean, like, isn't it something like we go to the movies? That's one of the common things that we'll do. You know, I got to spend time with it. Let's all go to the movie. Or we go what? To eat. Yes, to dinner. Here's what I recommend you do, is you make a list of all the fun family things you can do. And there's a second part to this. But you sit down with your family or with yourself when you're flying back home. What can I do with my family? Just call out some stuff other than movies and eating. Just call out some stuff. What?
Travel.
Travel, good.
Play games.
Play games, good. What?
Go to the park.
You have family night. Very good. You can go to a picnic. You can go see attractions. My list has horseback riding on it. Just make a bunch of things that you can do with your family. Take that list, put it on the refrigerator, and make sure you put a yellow highlighter next to it. And here's the game. When it's time for you to do something with the family because you need it and they need it, do an item on the list. Once you do that item, you can't do it again until all the other items are highlighted. That will force you to be creative with your family. Does that make sense? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Simple little thing. All right. Now, last thing I want to tell you to stay more focused on your next level and on your goals is make sure you do have fun. I want you to, when you leave here today, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. We give power agents. I want you to call a for sale by owner and hang up on them. Let them see how it feels like, right? Hey, is your house still for sale? Yes, click. Ah! Yeah, that's good. Now, only do that once. I don't want you in the office. Yes, it's pizza night prospecting. Ah! And be careful of that caller ID thing because you'll get yourself in trouble. All right, everybody turn the page or whatever page you're on. And here's the next one. Focus on other people. What I've noticed about top producers is they focus on other people. Now, this is a very important distinction. See, I'm trying to give you the concepts and then some tips. Is it working so far?
Yes.
We're in a people business, yes?
Yes.
And here's something I've noticed about top agents. They just love what they do. And they love helping people. Now, don't get me wrong, there are those top producers that love the money. And that's their motivation, and that's how some people are. But I think the majority of us as human beings want to really authentically make a difference. I think when it's all said and done, you strip away everything, we really would just like to help other people. And this is a business that is not just about selling houses. What we are actually doing is we are facilitating and helping these people get to their next level, because that's what it is. This real estate game is the biggest game in the world. Everything evolves around real estate. The White House sits on a piece of real estate. The planet Earth is a piece of real estate in the universe. And you and I are part of that game. And when somebody is selling their home or buying a home, they're doing it to get a next level because of a job, because they want a bigger house, because they have more money, or they're retiring. And we're part of this. And this should be a real privilege for you. You should be inspired by this, that you're helping people in the biggest game. But sometimes we focus about us because we got our own issues, our own problems, our own paying the bills, that we're not in touch with other people like we should be. But what I know is that when we focus more on them versus on us, we'll produce great results. And here's why I say that. Let's just look at our personal lives. Would you agree that you and I would do things for our family that we wouldn't necessarily do for ourselves? Yes or no? There's a perfect example. Here's another one. I want you to imagine time management is a problem for us. Yes? Now, I want to show you a time when you had a breakthrough in time management. I want you to look at a time when you had to prepare for something. Maybe it was for a holiday dinner. Maybe it was for a birthday party. But the point is, you had this much to do, but in this amount of time. Now, my question is, did you get it done? You had a breakthrough in time management. And I'm going to tell you why and how you did it. Number one was you had clarity of purpose. What we talked about in the first one. You were crystal clear about what you were committed to. Great event. Clear. I mean clear. You were so clear about what you were committed to. So who you were was your commitment and not your issues. Who you were was your commitment to producing the result and not why it can't be done. The other thing was it was not about you, but it was about them. It was about your guests. It was about your child. Whatever that event was about them, not about you. My son is 6 years old, Michael. And I've got to tell you this story because I think it helps prove the point. I've never been into sports. Never got into it. Father died when I was young. He was never into it anyway, so even if he was still around, it wouldn't have mattered. I'm not into anything physical. I mean, my idea of a good workout is I fill up my bathtub, I pull the plug, and I fight the current. To me, that's Daryl Davis aerobics. But I want my son to be exposed to everything and anything so he can choose. So I decided to sign him up for baseball, Little League, you know, T-ball. So I go there and I fill out the card, you know, and on the card it asks the parent, is there anything that you want to do to help? You know, bring refreshments or call. And there was something there that said coaching. I said, well, I can do that. I coach realtors. Maybe I give a little seminar to the kids. Next level, yay. So I get me not knowing about anything in sports related. I think that this is what. So I go to the meeting. They call my house. Say, there's a meeting for. Okay, so I go. There's only like 5 other guys there. I'm like, where's all the other parents? They all said, this is a meeting just for the coaches. So I said to the guy, well, I can't be a coach. I don't know the difference between the Knicks and the Mets. He said, that's all right. Neither do the kids. I wasn't worried about the kids. I was worried about the parents. You know, you read the paper, people get shot. The coach gets shot. So now I said, well, you know what? But wouldn't you see, I travel for a living. I work very hard. Do you think it would be good for me to be related to my son if I were the coach? Sure. That's what I was thinking. So now I get on the internet. I'm reading how to coach kids. I'm buying videos, reading the things. I didn't even know how many people are on the team. I'm coming up with practice and drills for the kids. So we did the season, and the parents said I was the best coach they'd ever seen because I was like a new agent. I was overcompensating. I'll do anything. So, okay, somebody fell down the stairs. Then I signed him up for soccer. Now I'm reading about soccer. I get the tapes. We've had 10 games so far, undefeated.
Oh, wow.
Now I find myself watching what is it? ESPN. I know I'm watching it. I don't know what the heck the title is. I'm still learning. But here's my point. I'm growing as a person because of my son. Because who I am is a commitment to my son. And if it's going to make him better, that's what I want. And because of that, I'm growing as a person. You know, for years, I always wanted to play the piano. I mean, I was an actor. I mean, wouldn't it be great to be able to play the piano in a bar? Never did it. Bought this house, moved into a 6,000-square-foot home last year. the homeowners left a baby grand piano because they didn't want to lug it. So I start signing Michael up for piano lessons. And then I figure, once again, to be related to my son, let me take it with him. Here it is, 6 months into it. I'm playing Bach, Beethoven. Never would have dreamed it. When you have your life be about other people, you will get out of the box of what you can't do. You'll become extraordinary. See, here's how it ties into real estate. In the Power Program, we teach the agents about prospecting. And the number one fear that a lot of us have, the number one reason why a lot of us don't prospect is because of the fear of the telephone. Would you agree with that basic premise, those of you that are apprehensive, yes or no?
Yes.
Now, when you talk about the fear of the telephone, where's the focus? It's on you. About you doing it the right way. When you have it be about you, you are setting up win-lose, success or failure. So we really have to ingrain in the power agents, because if they can have it be about making a difference, and this sounds woo-woo, right? But if you can have it be about helping others, helping the seller move from point A to point B in their life, that would be great. Now, do I get the appointment? If I get it or don't get it, if it's about helping them, I still won. Are you with me? Because it's not about me getting an appointment. So you want to start to focus more on other people. Once again, top agents, they love helping other people. All right, let's turn to the... Oh, let me give you some tips on that. Oh, and also, here's something else about this. We're in the business of building relationships with people, aren't we? What's the best form of business, gang? Referral business. For people to refer a business to us, they have to like us, yes? They have to trust us. Now, how do we get people to like us? Be honest, be integritous, and get related with them. Let me tell you something. I believe real estate is more about relationships than it is about technique. That what we notice about top producing agents is they're very good at being related to people. And it's not a technique. They like people. And they focus on building these relationships. Now I want you to look in, I'm going to share a little heavy, not heavy stuff, but I want you to look in the mirror for a second. It's hard for us to be good at building relationships in our careers if we're not good at that in our personal lives. Because it's all the same thing. Would you agree, yes or no? I'll tell you a story that this is the, you know, I've been doing seminars now since 1993. And this is the first time I'm going to share this publicly. The only other time I've shared this was with my power agents in the power program. Years ago, my mother and I, we had some major upsets. It was so bad, it got to the point where we weren't talking. And I wasn't we didn't talk for 2 years. Now, if I told you what happened, you probably would have sided with me, because everybody in my life at the time sided with me. So I was right not to be around her. And I didn't have a mother for 2 years. So I realized that I had to let go of being right. I had to be committed to the possibility of having a relationship with her. Now I still have the thoughts, still have the opinions, still have the feelings, but they don't have me. We started talking again. This was a long time ago. Now my mother lives with me. You know, that 6,000 square foot home, I got an apartment for her at the other end of the house. Separate thing. Well, anyway, after we started cleaning things up, there's still strain there, but at least there's the commitment there. But after about 6 months of us working on this and making headway, we found out that she has AIDS. She got it from my stepfather, who has died now, and he got it from a blood transfusion before they started checking it. Now, I'll tell you this. If I didn't clean it up with my mother before the news, then I would have definitely cleaned it up for the wrong reasons. It would have been out of guilt. And no matter how long she lived, it would never be complete for me. I shared this story in one of the power classes. A power agent comes up to me the next, about 30 days later. She said, "Darryl, because of what you said, I realized that if I can sacrifice being right and be committed to the possibility that I will grow as a person." See, because let me tell you something. Some of us in this room, we have some dead skeletons in the closet. We've killed some people off emotionally, and they don't even know we killed them off. And we're doing it because we're being right. And it would take greatness in you to let go of that being right to move forward to having a powerful relationship. This agent called her father. They started talking after 10 years. About 30 days later, before the next class, he was in a car accident and was killed. She said it made a huge difference for her to let go and at least start. She had a complete relationship. So what I recommend you do is I want you to look in the mirror and look in your life to see these relationships that are not sound. And what can you do to bring it to the next level? If you were to do that, do you think you'd be a better person, yes or no? Yes. If you can master having breakthroughs in relationships, it will impact your career like I can't even explain it. Because that's what we do in real estate, is create relationships. And with that, let me give you a couple of tips. Oh, and you know, I made a note here because when I was flying, I flew from New York to California, then to here. And while I was sitting on the plane, I asked the flight attendant, how many of you've flown before? Yes, I think everybody. Whenever you look out the window, what does it look like? Clouds, pretty, right? I asked the flight attendant, I said, can you find out how fast we're going? She comes back to me. I had to have a double check because I didn't believe it. She said, the captain said, normally it's like the average is like 570, but we're going 620 miles per hour because we got a nice tailwind. 620 miles an hour. Now, the amazing thing to me is when you look out the window, it doesn't look like you're going 620 miles. It looks like it's going very slow. This is our life. Our life looks like, moment by moment, that it's going very slow. But before you know it, there's all these incomplete items in our life that we were going to get to someday. So let's get going here. Let's clean it up. Let's get to that. Listen, gang, you know what you need to do for yourselves to become a stronger person, right? Just go do it then. Sacrifice being right for the possibility of what you can be. Here's a couple of tips. Number one is, if you have a past relationship that's, you know, not doing too well, clean it up. Clean up a past relationship. Start with just one. Clean it up by letting them know, you know what, I made a decision. I might have been wrong, but I'm committed to at least starting something, building something again with you. The second tip that I have for you is join a community program that you don't want to join. Join a project, join something that helps contribute to other people. I'll tell you, I used to do this thing. I got a couple more tips, but to highlight this one. There's this thing called the Holiday Project. It's a company that meets during the holidays, and they go to nursing homes and hospitals and yada yada to share with people during the holidays. The difference between this organization and the most common ones is that they do it on the holiday. So I was called a facility manager, which meant it was my job to pick the facility and recruit the people for Christmas Day. So for 5 years I did this. And we did the Mayfair Nursing Home in Hempstead, New York. And every Christmas morning we would go, we'd hand out presents to the people there, the residents. We would sing carols to them. We had buttons that said, "You are the gift." And then we did that from 9 till about 11:30. And then we would go be with our family on the holidays. Now, do you think that changed the meaning of Christmas for my family? Yes. Absolutely. But I got to tell you something. Oh, I remember the first time I did it. And I want you to look at yourself when you're around sick people. There's an uncomfortableness there. Not for all of us, but for most average person, there's an uncomfortableness, like you almost don't want to look at them, or you don't know, can I touch them? And when you're in your head like that, it's about you. And what I learned the first holiday project is I had to not focus on me, but focus on making a difference. And I found myself being with people, hugging people. There's things I wouldn't normally do, but I let go of it because it wasn't about me anymore. It makes you powerful to put yourself at risk. Here's a third tip. Do something unusual and unexpected for your family. When you go back after this conference, just do one. It doesn't have to be a lot of money. Heck, just to take them out to dinner would be unusual and unexpected for some of us. So come up with one item that you can just surprise your family with. And come on, do yourself a favor. Are there breakouts after this one, 12:30, 1 o'clock? Or is it there? There's breakouts all the time, right? But there's 30 minutes? Listen, stay in your chair. You don't have to leave. You know, stay 15 minutes and come up with this. What can I do before I leave here? Make a promise. What am I going to do for my family when I go back home that's unusual and unexpected? And the fourth thing is I want you to acknowledge somebody in your life that you feel has contributed to you as a person. Now, please pick somebody that would be a stretch for you to acknowledge them. That out of you acknowledging them, you would feel good about yourself. See, some of us, we tell our parents all the time we love them. So that wouldn't be the person then. It'd be a person that you don't normally say this to. I always trying to acknowledge people. One time I was in, I forget which airport it was, doesn't matter. I go into the bathroom, and there's this guy cleaning up the bathroom. And he is, and I'll tell you something, I swear to you, this was the best looking bathroom I'd ever been in. And I've been in a lot of bathrooms in airports. You could eat off this floor. So after I finished my business, I thought I should tell this guy what a great job he's doing. Now, what do you think my next thought would have been? If you were that person, you know, I'm going to acknowledge this person. What might your next thought be? You might say, oh, that's stupid to do. I don't want to be embarrassed, right? So I went up to the guy and I told him, I am a national speaker. I travel for a living. I'm in more airport bathrooms than my own at home. And with all sincerity, this is the best, cleanest bathroom I'd ever seen. And I thank you for doing your job so well. Now, do you think this guy, his whole day is different now? A complete stranger acknowledges him? And what do you think how I felt? I felt good because I got past my own nonsense to go make a difference with somebody. And it only took me 20 seconds. With that, I'm going to give you the last tip for today. But before I do that, let's do number two right now. Acknowledge, or have it be about other people, acknowledging people. On the back is this survey. Where's that survey? It's the last page in your handout. Now, let me tell you something about these surveys, may I? This here, if I were like you, I would think, you know, these people don't really read these surveys. And I'm telling you from personal experience, they go through every one of these surveys. Every speaker is rated by this, very important. But what I want you to do right now, because I can't tell, isn't this amazing what these people do at this convention, how they organize? They don't organize just this building, the schedules, the speakers. They're managing a whole town. Where are we putting people? How are we going to do a parade? It's amazing what these staff people do at NAR. What I want you to do right now in the upper right-hand corner, right there in the upper right-hand corner, NAR staff, thanks for giving us a great convention. Because these people don't get acknowledged enough. If anything, they get beat up more than they are acknowledged. And I'm telling you, they're going to read this and it's going to make a difference. And what I'm going to ask you guys to do is please hand this in because they do look at it. And if you want to make it easy for yourself, you can just circle all fours. Well, I'm just trying to help you on time management here. All right, and after you do that, go to the last, number three, focus. Number three is focus on being more enthusiastic. Focus on being more enthusiastic. Now, Now, when I say enthusiastic, I don't mean like, you know, yay! I'm so excited! I feel like I just ate a York peppermint patty. Yeah! But it's being more, you know, listen, enthusiastic, passionate, whatever word you want to use. But the point is this. Would you agree, whether you're working with buyers and sellers, that trust accounts for at least 50% of what we do, yes or no? And is it easy? Come on, everybody answer me. Do you think trust is important, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. And is it easier to trust somebody that you like?
Yes.
And is it easier to like somebody who's enthusiastic, passionate, whatever word you want to use, yes or no?
Yes.
So at least passion and enthusiasm, that accounts for at least 50% of what we do.
Yes.
Now, do you know most agents are negative?
Yes.
Hey, I'm not saying all agents are negative, but some agents are negative some of the time, yes?
Yes.
How many of you have in your office director of pain in the neck? How many of you got that person? Raise your hands. Let me see. Come on. Every office has got one. Some of you are not raising your hands because they're sitting next to you. I understand. Well, this is the person who sees the negative side of everything, yes?
Yes.
They'll smell flowers. They're going to say, hey, where's the funeral? Opportunity can be knocking on the door, and they're going to complain about the noise. These people, you can't help them. It started a long time ago. Now, some of them, they weren't born that way, although they do look like they were weaned on a pickle. I believe most of us, when we come into anything new, when we come into life, we're pretty excited. Anything's possible. Like, you remember you, when you were growing up? You could be anything. You'd be an astronaut, a nurse, a firefighter. How many of you said, when I grow up, I want to be poor, overweight, and unhappy? How many of you said that? It's like, okay, it wasn't supposed to look this way. Well, here's what happens. As we're growing up, our parents try to nurture and grow us. But unfortunately, they did it by telling us more of what not to do versus what to do. So all of a sudden, you and I are programmed like a thermostat, you see. You know, you say, this is Zig Ziglar who talks about a thermostat. He says, if you set a thermostat at 70 degrees, and if the room is below 70 degrees, the boiler kicks in the basement to heat the home. And as soon as that room gets 70 degrees, what happens to the boiler? It shuts off. Some of us have an internal thermostat about what we can and can't do. And you've seen it happen in your careers, you old dogs. Some of you have been doing this for a while. You seem to keep hitting the same ceiling over and over again. You might have some minor successes, but man, that thermostat's set at $30,000 a year, $60,000, whatever your ceiling is. So what we need to do is we need to reprogram ourselves. And I'll tell you this, to reprogram ourselves, we can't be around negative people. Would you agree, yes or no? Because those negative people, they're going to drain our enthusiasm. They're going to plant a negative seed. See, you and I are easily, we are easily influenced. We like to think, no, I'm not influenced. But listen, after a while, we'll do a little study here. One of my paraleaders, Vinny Romano, taught me this technique. I want to show you this. I really like it. I'm going to put a word up here, and the word is called yelk. Everybody, what's the word?
Yelk.
No, come on, say it nice and loud.
Yelk.
All right, here's what we're going to do, a little experiment. I want you to say this word. What's the word?
Yelk.
I want you to say it five times with enthusiasm.
Yelk.
No, no, not...
Yelk.
No, no, not now. But thank you for your enthusiasm. Wait till I cue you. All right, so we're going to do it five times really loud. And then after the fifth time, I'm going to ask you a question. Okay? Are you ready?
Ready.
What's the word?
Yelk.
And I want you to say it really loud. I want the other people to get mad at us. Okay? Here we go. Yelk! 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 What's the white part of the egg?
Yolk.
The white part of the egg?
White.
See how easy you are?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. She just got it. Oh, my God. What is the white part of the egg?
White.
White. I had one guy in a seminar say albuma. I don't hang out with people that call it albuma. They're already drunk. Now, see, here's what happens. So we're easily influenced by these negative people. So I'm going to give an example. Who's new? Who's new? 6 months or less? Again, let me see. Good. What? Okay, great. What's your name?
Beth Ann.
Beth Ann. Okay, now watch this. Beth Ann, how long have you been licensed?
Since September, 3 months.
Since September, 3 months. Okay, now. Okay, so now Beth Ann, she's new. Okay. Now, let's say Beth Ann is having her first closing today. Now, how would her enthusiasm be? Look, honey, I got a paycheck. Now, I'm negative Ned in her office. I've been in real estate for 102 years. I'm going to now straighten Beth Ann out. Now, Beth Ann, don't get excited. The deal could still fall apart. If you have any problems, just call me. I'll be here. I don't got nothing going on. Oh, by the way, I heard the broker's thinking about firing you. Good luck. Now, what just happened to her enthusiasm? Because here's what happened. She's driving to the closing. She's thinking about what I'm saying. It starts to grow fast. I just planted a bad seed in her head that's going to grow and consume her. So I want to give you a technique that if any of these people do that to you in the office again. Everybody stand up. I'm going to show you this technique here. Let me stand over here. Take everything out of your hands. You should hear what I hear right now. You're like, oh my God. The next time you get that negative Ned or negative Nelly and they start to vomit on you, because that's what it feels like. Oh, the market, the economy, the broker. Nah, 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 nah. I don't want you to help these people or try to motivate them. That's God's job. I just want you to look them square in the face when they start doing this and go, bad seed, bad seed. Let's role play this, all right? I'm negative Ned or Nelly. Oh, the market, the economy. Go ahead, give it to me. You got to give him two shots with the hands, too. Come on, everybody, get out of your head. Bad seed, bad seed. I promise you they'll go in the opposite direction. They'll go like, what the heck's wrong with you? And this also works really good with spouses. You know when you're having one of those crazy arguments and spits flying and they're talking about, remember 1967, you? Don't get involved with that. Just look out, Betsy, Betsy. And they'll go, what the hell's wrong with you, you nut? Get away from me. They won't talk to you for a couple of days. All right, take a seat. Take a seat. And one last thing here for a tip is make sure you network with other agents. You know what? What's interesting is that you can be sitting in an office full of people and you feel alone. Because you got these issues, these concerns. It's real important that you be around other people that are like-minded, that are committed to helping others. You know, I noticed that, you know, geese, I read this article that they found that geese, they fly in that V formation. And have you ever seen geese fly? And you ever notice that one side of the V is longer than the other? Do you know why that is? There's more geese in that side. Thank you very much. Can you believe this? Okay, I forgot this is the advanced group. Still a little hungover, darling, huh? All right. Okay. Yeah, and the reason why there's more geese in there, on that side, is because they find that the front bird is creating a wind tunnel for the other birds. And that V formation studies show that they can fly 2.5 times further than if they flew solo. So they say that the bird in that long V, that last one, was the one that was just up front. You see? So if you take a group of agents working together, supporting each other, they're going to fly 2.5 times further than if they flew by themselves. Now, by the way, I have my own theory about the honking. The honking. Now, it's not proven, but I think this makes a lot of sense. I think those birds are encouraging the front goose. They go, go, honk, honk, go, Johnny, go, honk. Keep it up, baby, you can do it. One more. Some of us, we got geese in our life. They ain't honking encouragement. So here's all we've said today. We had two goals. Number one was to have some fun. Did we do that, yes or no?
Yes.
Did I give you just a couple of tips in a short period of time to have you reinvent yourself, yes or no?
Yes.
Do yourself a favor. I don't make a commission on the CDs. I want you to think, oh, you're selling tapes. I don't make any money on those CDs. None of the speakers do. I think it may be good. If you got value out of today, this is something not to reread, but it's to listen to over and over again. Get the CDs so you can constantly keep reminding yourself what we learned today. Listen, gang, it was a privilege being here with you. I have a book signing today at 2:30 down at the bookstore. And I have another seminar tomorrow, How to Build a Profitable Real Estate Career. I invite you to come, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. And have a great convention. Thank you very much. Thank you.